It is Thursday. It is March 21st. It is 2024. I think I'm here tonight with Matty G. Just the two of us, just a double act tonight, getting towards the end of the season. We're going to talk about some tanking teams, which players might have value for the rest of the season. We're going to do some hypothetical player matchups for next season and quickly touch on our squads from the early industry mock draft that we ran last week. This is Fantasy Basketball International. This is Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. I'm Adam King, your host at AdamKing91. Joining me tonight, as I won't say as always, but as usual, is Matty G from Insight Fantasy. Matty, you were off last week. You were on camp with.
I was on camp.
A bunch of kids out in the bush somewhere. So we had DMAC filling in admirably for you.
He was a gem, absolute gem.
He was. How was the camp? Let's start with that.
The camp was amazing. And I consider myself an archer. Like, you know, hypothetically, where you think that's a sport that I'd be good at. I'd love to do that. You know, it's like every single person alive when it comes to the Olympic Games, we can sit back there and watch gymnastics that we've never done in our life and be like, you know what? They turned out of that half pike a little bit fucking early, didn't they? I've always thought that with archery. Like, it's one of the things I hit, and I have photographic evidence of it, Kingy. I hit a dead perfect bullseye last week, like straight, there you go, straight in the guts of it. There you go. And my class went absolutely bonkers ballistic and thought it was the coolest thing. So to that just is a bonding experience and paddling up and down a river for half a day. Just, it's amazing. And, you know, it's the Aussie bush, so it's awesome and it's tranquil and it just, yeah, miss basketball, but camping's pretty bloody great.
It is. I don't mind getting out and doing a bit of camping as well. Plenty of space here in the country that we live in. There's no shortage of space to go camping.
Here's a question back to you. What's one of those kind of sports where you've always been like, I love that? Or that's a sport that I love.
I love all sport. The Olympics are my favorite time of the year, every 4 years. I usually take time off work when the Olympics are on, because usually the times are all weird and I have to stay up all night watching stuff. Sports I love watching that aren't on TV very much, athletics and swimming. I love watching both of those because I did them as a kid. Sport that I often think I could give that a crack and I reckon I'd be all right, lawn bowls. And I have done a little bit of lawn bowls, and I've been told by people, you're not too bad at this, given you've never played.
All right.
So that's probably one, and that's probably a sport along with golf that I'd like to ease into as I get older.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear that. Golf is one that I love doing. I just like to hit the ball.
I love golf as well. Yeah, I love getting out and a couple of beers and just wandering around. Hitting a ball goes in the water, goes in the sand, whatever. Doesn't matter. That's not the point of it for me.
It's not the point of it whatsoever. It's 100%. It's just to hang out with mates and have a good old time. I love that.
That's right. Now, you really have no idea what we're talking about tonight.
I'm completely, utterly unprepared, but I did bring wine, so I'm okay.
Wine, very good. I'm just on the Canadian clubs tonight.
Oh, classic. Classic.
The old favourites.
Yeah, that was Australian summer for me when I was a young kid. Not a kid, as in not promoting underage drinking by any way, shape, or form, but like 22 to 23-year-old, 23-4-year-old, Matt, like when you'd hang out with the mates at the beach and the sunset would go down near Byron Bay, southern Gold Coast way, down past Coolangatta and Deba. Some Canadian clubs by the beach was always in hand.
And I've actually got a lemon crisp biscuit with me tonight.
Nice.
We talked about our biscuits a few weeks ago.
We did talk about the biscuits.
Yeah, my wife surprised me with a few packets. They were on sale. Came home with a few packets of Bickies, so that was
Mrs. That's why we call her Mrs. Queen, not Mrs. King.
Very nice of her, indeed. All right, so I just thought we'd look at. I've listed some teams here that are. I think we can categorize them as tanking now. They're not really playing for anything. So we'll just run through the teams very quickly and touch on any players we think might have value for the rest of the season.
Love it.
Yep, agree. We can disagree. Whatever we want to do. Let's start with the Nets. They're an interesting one because I actually don't think they're tanking. I just think they're really bad. And there's no point for them to tank because they don't have their draft pick.
There's no agenda for it whatsoever. There's no impetus for these guys to suck. They've just sucked this year. They haven't lived up performance, and I think it highlights the fact that I'm never taking Mikal Bridges again. And this player who I love and who's still getting heavy consideration for Team USA. When they're putting Team USA together right now, because of the game that he can bring, it's the name that you don't really, you know, that you hear floating around. And guys might be cut, but it's just, mate, he has been, where would you say he was at the beginning of this season? In all fairness, he was people getting him from the second round, third, fourth round. He wouldn't go past the fourth round.
No, I mean, he was going too high in a lot of leagues. I probably had him in, I didn't get him anywhere because he was going above where I wanted to take him. I was probably comfortable taking him around top 40, but he was generally going inside the top 30. And I don't know what he is, top 90 this year, maybe? I'm not sure.
I'm bringing up to double check because he's flirted as well. He's flirted with top 25 value a couple of times and then he's plateaued out. And yep, he is the 119th best player.
Yeah. So I think if we'd had a discussion
above him by four places.
Yeah. If we'd had a discussion at the start of the year, which Bridges finishes higher this year, Mikal or Miles Bridges, I think it would have been heavily weighted towards Mikal Bridges. Mikal. And it's actually Miles quite comfortably.
By a long way. He's taken the foot off the gas. And this brings us to the next team here, the Hornets. Like, what are they doing? Well, they're still not very, very good, but they're going to continue to roll their guys out there. Miles Bridges, two-game week for the Hornets. So if you're in your week 21, I own him in a league that I'm in a semi-final for. You kind of got to grind your teeth and bear it. He's like one of the two. He's one of the two Hornets that you won't cut in your rotations this week. Like, you'll keep him and you'll keep Brandon Miller, but you're going to probably let go Nick Richards. Micić is a two-game stream, but you're going to get it elsewhere. I liked him, and Kingy, I think you remember it was just after the trade deadline. I said I want to watch Micić more than Man. So Man came out the gates hot, and I looked like people were like, I was like, just wait. And I've waited and been patient. And I think Micić is the guy that we can kind of lean on in Charlotte to get some value when he's on the wire. He's getting all the shots that he wants. He's getting some assists, some steals, decent percentages most of the time. So I think the player value for him is probably sky high.
The Hornets have got a few guys. Back on the Nets quickly, there isn't really a lot of value there, I don't think, because I don't think they're going to rest guys. The only guy I'd probably be watching here is Dayron Sharp. He had 8-17 with two blocks. He only needs 22, 24 minutes to be a top 80 player. And Claxton is questionable.
He is.
I could see them not shutting Claxton down, but almost giving him sort of the Lowry Markkanen treatment where he maybe plays and then sits.
Don't you say that. You take that back. Is in that 11 cat. I've got him as my center. You wheel that back and he can rest his ass down in week 23 and 24. Yeah. I'm okay with Clacko getting the last eight games of the season. I've got a left thing that's out of joint. But not until week 23, Kingy. Until then. Clacko is in there, and I am Dayron Sharp is on every single bloody watch list alive for me right there.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll move to the Pistons, but on the Hornets quickly. So you said Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges, probably not dropping. I actually dropped Miles Bridges in one of my leagues today. It's a semi-final.
Yep.
It's a league where I'm very guard heavy, so I need guard stats. That's what I need. I'm punting rebounds, punting blocks. So Bridges is a really good fit, but I'm hoping, and this was...
Is it a tight race? Is it a tight? Is it nine cat? Like, what's nine. The cats in? Is it tight?
Yeah.
And tight?
Yeah,
and tight?
I'm leading 6-3 at the moment, and I dropped him and I picked up Keon Ellis. So
don't you mention that name either. We'll have a Keon Ellis conversation in a second.
Yeah, and I'm glad I did. I mean, Keon Ellis was pretty good today. All I want from him is threes and steals, and I got 2 threes and 4 steals, I think.
And so, my opponent randomly picked him up like three days ago, ahead of the back-to-back. So the great value of the Kings today was that they're on that, you know, that back-to-back set. They've got the games for the rest of the week. He'd made one move, and that I think that was maybe his second move, but it was on a day that he needed it, and we're pretty tight because it's an 11 cat. Yeah. So I was like, all right, like I'll get him the second that the waivers open, I'll slide in and I'll get Keon. I actually didn't notice his squad because I was on daily view, and he'd already picked him up the day before. And I was like, you bastard. And the 4 steals today, the only guy that played for me, thank goodness gracious, was Kawhi Leonard, who got my 4 steals back. And he was the only guy in my rotation that was on there today.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. Yeah. Look, Keon's going to start for the rest of the season now. So I think he probably has value there if you don't need points. So I'm hoping that the league I'm in, we have a limited number of moves per week. So you can't just keep adding and streaming. So I'm hoping that once Miles Bridges clears waivers, he's sitting there long enough for me to pick him back up for next week. If not, so be it. I've got to get to the final first. So, and I don't know, I feel like Bridges, I know they have a 4-game week next week, but they're on, I think all 4 games are on high volume nights. So there's a chance you're going to have a full roster anyway. So maybe not having Bridges is not the end of the world. So, anyway, we'll see if that comes back to bite me. On to Detroit. 2 players, Asar Thompson and Isaiah Stewart, both out for the season.
Yeah.
I talked about this on, I think it was the show with Noah yesterday. We talked about Asar Thompson, and I said, just keep an eye on this because he's missed 4 games with what they were calling asthma. And I thought, you don't miss 4 games because of asthma. No. So, and sure enough, they came out today and said it was a blood clot that he's dealing with. So, hopefully everything is okay and he's good to go for next season, but he's out for the rest of this year along with Isaiah Stewart. So anyone in Detroit that we're sort of targeting now?
I mean, if there was ever a time to love Jaden Ivey, it's now. And I know that he is still available in some 12-team leagues, so I definitely think it's time you bring Jaden Ivey into your lineup if you're a 12-teamer and he's still sitting there remarkably. And I even think he's... At a point, he starts to flirt with and warrant 10-team conversation. I like Jaden Ivey, personally. I think, and God forbid, that we actually see a bit of a return to... Do we actually look for Evan Fournier minutes? Like, this is... We're literally living in a world with them where the guys like Shebezy Metu are going to start getting some minutes. James Wiseman obviously gets a little bit of an uptick here as well. But Amude is going to get some minutes. Amude, if I'm saying it right. Yeah, he's going to get some minutes. And I'm going to stuff up the other bloke. It's Evan Mambwa. I haven't got to say it right because he's only been in a couple of games. But, like, this is what we are at with Detroit now. And it's not the team we started with. And I think we see Cade almost get shut down in a couple of weeks too at this point.
Yeah, there's a chance that they do at least ease him back and play him every second game. I think Fontecchio is an obvious one. If he's available, go and get Fontecchio. Although he's
100%. Well. He's been injured the last 3 games. Yeah. So, I mean, Sasa was a guy that we liked, and then all of a sudden they're backing his minutes down, and Shebezy Metu and Fournier are getting minutes. So I was surprised to be. I mean, Quentin Grimes, I'd love to see him get some more run, obviously, but, you know, he's out. He hasn't played. So I think they're just very much just packing up the cart and wheeling it home to that number one pick next year.
On the Grizzlies, a pretty similar situation here, knowing who's going to play from one night to the next. Desmond Bane came back for whatever reason.
And has played
a couple of games. Although he wasn't great today, was he? I didn't even – I know I checked his box score during
the game. No, he wasn't. He wasn't good today. He wasn't as good as John Conchar. He was better than John Conchar. Let's put it that way. But Jaren Jackson Jr. has been great. When he's playing, Jaren Jackson's been playing fine. Like the massive blocks in numbers the other day, no blocks today. Such is the life of being a Jaren Jackson Jr. owner this year. Santi Aldama, for me, has been one of the nice stream ads. I think he's become Mr. Consistency. Guys are picking up Jake LaRavia, Jemison, and Giroux seem to be the guys getting the most run there. There's no one else that I'm really trusting, though, probably apart from, Aldama and LaRavia, because they're the guys who have been in the team a little bit. It's almost like you guys don't get to play with us all the time, but you're still on the team, so you can get some more minutes. And minutes can equal value.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. I think it's Conchar, Aldama, GG Jackson, and LaRavia. They're probably the four that I trust the most to play majority of games. Like someone like a Jordan Goodwin, when he plays, is worth looking at, but we just don't know when he's going to play. Bane has played three straight now, I think, so who knows? He's probably likely to sit a couple. They're probably the guys I'm targeting there as well. Over to Portland, a little bit the same. I'm just assuming that Jeremy Grant is basically done for the season.
Yeah.
I think he'll play a couple more games, but I wouldn't be if you've got him on your team, I wouldn't be holding him, that's for sure. No real signs. I thought this morning we were getting an Anthony Simons, maybe here we go, here's the shutdown coming, but he played.
He did?
Didn't do much because they got blown out, but he did play. They're on a back-to-back, I think, soon. So I wouldn't be surprised if he misses one of those. There were a few names here, like Jabari Walker, Delano Banton, Tamani Kamara, Scoot, although Scoot's probably not available anywhere anymore, I wouldn't think. What are your thoughts about Portland?
They're not good.
They're not good. They're very not good.
They're very, very not good. And it's a shame that we all saw this kind of coming in a way this year, but we also had hopes for the Portland Trailblazers being like a bit of a young and up and coming team. Like obviously when you're looking on your waiver wire and you see Kay Murray there and you're just going down and you're not looking at the photos and you're thinking that you're getting Keegan, you're not, you're getting Chris Murray. But I think Chris is going to play himself into some value, not value, but I'm going to think he's going to play himself into some minutes. He started today. He did okay. 17, 5, 2 and a steal. Look, Matisse Thybulle, he'll get some minutes. They bring him in. He's even questionable. I think they just see him now as a veteran. So they'll give him the veteran treatment and just wind him back. So I think Banton pretty much becomes the guy, and he's probably popped back up on a couple of waiver wires with Scoot getting some starts. And this guy was putting up like almost 40 pieces last week. Like he was filling up it with steals and some assists. So I think we just got to watch to see what happens with Scoot. And like you said, if they do shut him down, I think Banton becomes like obviously one of the hot properties there.
San Antonio are an interesting team who I think a little bit like Brooklyn. I don't think they're necessarily – well, there's no indication that they're shutting it down yet.
No.
I don't know. Are they going to? I guess
– they gave it to the bloody Mavs yesterday.
They did.
Like if you're going to tank, maybe don't, go out there and play Wembanyama 32 minutes against the Mavericks. Like just to – and his line, like six blocks was impressive, sure. But if you look at the rest of it, it's not. Take away the blocks for a hot second, you'd think that's anybody in the world. 12, 11, 3 and 1. Like, oh, okay, 3 of 13. Like, it's just a shit show in San Antonio. And I just think organizationally, if we look for a shift in the offseason, Champagne, but again, there's two Champagnes. The Wizards... Yep. There's Julian and there's a Justin. Just know your Julians and know your Justins. That's all I'm going to say. One of them plays with the Wizards and one of them plays obviously with the San Antonio Spurs. So if you want a Champagne, you get Julian from the Spurs and you get Justin from the Wizards because they're the guys who seem to be getting the minutes in the burn right now.
Yeah, we'll get to the Wizards in a minute. They're actually a very interesting team in terms of streaming at the moment. So, I think for the Spurs, we're probably looking at, like Sochan if he's available. Blake Wesley's been getting some minutes, Branham, but there's really no indication yet that they're going to sit Wemby or they're going to sit Trey Jones or Devin Vassell or anything. So at the moment, probably not a whole lot of value there, but let's revisit that in a week and maybe things have changed a little bit. Over to Toronto. We don't know how long RJ Barrett's going to be out. This could be a rest of season thing.
Yep.
It could be that he's back this upcoming week. We really don't know. Emmanuel Quickley is also out for personal reasons, and I don't think there's a time frame on when he'll return. Gary Trent, I picked him up in a league. Grady Dick, yes. if he's available, he's probably not. Jordan Nwora is the one I'd be watching. Because we saw him in Indiana last year have a good run of top 100 value. Jontay Porter was another one, but he left today's game, I think, but it was only an illness. So hopefully it's just a sort of a 1 or 2 day thing and he's okay. Jontay Porter, Jordan Nwora are probably the two that I would be looking at the moment. Anyone else there for you?
No, those are the guys. And I'm just looking up Grady Dick in Yahoo Leagues. He's actually, I thought this was the case, he's actually gone down 2% in the last day. So he's gone back to 10% rostered. It's like they just didn't get the right Dick. And no one likes it when it's only 1 of 8. If you're only getting 1 of the 8 possible inches of Grady, you don't want it. And that was the experience of him today. So people just dropped him. They're like, oh, he's shit. Boom. And again, we always say, like Mally, I do a Tuesday show with him. And we always say that points are the sexy girl at the party. Like points are the thing that you see on your waiver wire. Like they just, and it's like, oh, I'll pick you up. I'll get you in my lineup really quickly. But we're looking more for just that vapid points. And Grady's been chipping in some things here and there, but with more run, you go back a couple of weeks and he put together a good consistency, 18, 14, 7, 7, then 18, 18 again. He's chipping in some rebounds. The assists aren't really there, but he doesn't give you many turnovers. He gives you decent, like his free throw percentage is okay to buoy you, but I guess he's a rookie. They'll give him some burn down the stretch most likely, and that's where you can pick him up and get him back in.
On to Utah. So we're almost at the end here. Utah, another team. Well, as I said, I talked about Markin a bit earlier. I think he's just going to be in and out for the rest of the season. I wouldn't drop him just yet, but it could get to that point, I think. So outside of him, I mean, they're relatively healthy. Jordan Clarkson has missed a few games as well. Yeah. But Sexton has been playing really well. No indication that they're going to shut him down. The fact that John Collins got injured on that Anthony Edwards dunk but played today would indicate that they're happy to just roll him out as well. So probably a little bit like San Antonio, a little bit like Brooklyn, despite the fact that they're not very good, there's probably not a lot of streaming value in Utah just yet until we get some confirmation that one or two of these guys might be shut down.
And it's a really weird thing because you go back about a month or so ago and Utah was fringy, like, are these guys going to go for the play-in? Like, is this – like? And now they've obviously slipped. They've lost their last three games. They're 29 and 40, so they're 7 games behind the Golden State Warriors in that position. But if you look at the West, the West is so stacked, and the real question is Utah ever going to be better than this? And the answer is really no. Like, you look at Houston. We all say they're a good team. Obviously, they've lost out with Alperen Şengün going down, and they're not even in the eight. And then you look at the top 18, the top 10 teams in the Western Conference, and you're like, are these just guys like the most mid team you can think of, but not even mid? They're like, are they low mid? And they kind of are. Like Lowry's obviously been a second round start all year. Colin Sexton's been revitalized. Keontae George, revelation. People here, he's already going to go up drafts really well next year. But Senzabar and Taylor Hendricks, they'll get burned. They're the two guys you want to keep your eye out at. And Chris Dunn is a good little stream option for some assists and steals, I think is a guy you can pick up and with some confidence.
And then Washington, like we said, quite a lot of value here. Marvin Bagley has missed quite a few games. Tyus Jones has missed a few now. Kuzma is in and out. Denny Avdia has missed quite a few. Rashawn Holmes, who cares? Landry Shamet. So they actually have got some injuries and have shown that they're happy to just not play their entire starting five, basically. So Corey Kispert, I think, is probably just a must roster at this point.
Yep.
Jordan Poole as well, despite his struggles, should be rostered. And then it's guys like you said, Justin Champagne, Patrick Baldwin, Jared Butler, probably not Johnny Davis. I mean, that'd be really scraping the bottom of the barrel if we went for him. That's going really low. But yeah, Champagne, Baldwin, and Butler, I think, are all guys to consider even in standard leagues at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm looking at their roster because I picked up Kispert early this week, and it's a shame they've gone obviously down with the injury to Bilal Coulibaly. So I think Kispert becomes almost one of their focal points. They've got two more games left this week. There's the Friday, but they don't play on the low volume Sunday. So I'm going to look to bring in Justin for a couple of games and then pick up another ad at the end of the week on that Sunday, just because I like that stretch and I've got the slot for him. So I think he played really well the other day, and he fills it up across. He's obviously playing to be considered for an NBA team. He wants to show his stuff in there. So I'm going to bring the guy into my team and very happily so.
On to an Aussie question. Now, we usually do one of these, and I've already got one ready for next week. So if you need to plan and do some research, it's favorite chocolate bar for next
week. Oh, no. We could make this band one next week, because band talk could take me for ages. Chocolate bar is one and done. Boost. No,
chocolate bar for me is a pretty in-depth discussion. So,
Is it Australian chocolate or just chocolate in general?
Just chocolate in general, I think.
I'm going to have to whittle that list down.
Yeah. But let's do Aussie band, because I prepared a list on my little
poster. Oh, my, there's a list?
It's a post-it list. It's not much of a list. It was more so that I didn't forget anyone.
Okay. Are we just like saying favorites? Or do you have a number one with the bullet? And is there like a list of subsequents? Or
I think it's probably changed at times throughout my life. So like when I was younger, I would have had a favorite, and then through my 20s and 30s, and then now. So I don't know if I could say I have a favorite, but I'll work through my list. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. I have some very emotionally strong ties to my favorite. So it's just that for a reason. And then there's like a list of like, there's one with the bullet, and then there's like these. I'm like the guy with the strings following around, like the mystery being like, and then there's this one, and then there's this one.
Yeah.
That's how I musically feel.
So I've got John Farnham on my list.
Oh.
Just because, yeah, I think you have to. If you're Australian, you have to have John Farnham. I've got AC/DC.
Well, huge.
Classic songs. So these are the ones that aren't the top, but I just like them. Crowded House. So some of these are older Australian bands, and so anyone that is watching, unless you were around in the 80s and 90s.
I'm literally writing down names now and crossing out to be like, yes, no, I can say that. I can't. This is great chat. Go.
Okay, so Crowded House. Ice House were another one.
Oh, good choice.
Yep.
Men at Work make the list?
No.
You seem like you're in the Men at Work, but you seem you're in that Men at Work zone.
Yeah, no, I didn't put them on my list. I've got Sia on my list because I like Sia, but again, like she's more of a now kind of Australian artist.
Yeah.
Not 20 years ago. Amy Shark, I don't mind Amy Shark as well now.
Good. Yep.
So then we're sort of into the ones that I would have right at the top of my list. Guy Sebastian would be one of them.
Great singer, great soul voice.
Yeah, I just like his voice, quite a few of his songs. And then there's Savage Garden.
They were 90s global.
When I was in high school. A lot of those songs take me back to high school girlfriends.
What is the song with Kirsten Dunst on the train? And I was like, damn, that's a...
I don't know that.
In the American film clip for a song, I swear that Kirsten Dunst was the you know how like there's the film, the video girl. This warrants a very quick Google search. I think it was on their second album where they relaunched a song like Every Time You Close My Eyes, that one, I Want You, I Need You. And then the next beat was, oh my God, you guys are huge. We're going to take you to America. Yeah. And there was like, they had this beautiful slow love ballad, and Kirsten Dunst was in the film clip. I swear to God.
So it could be, just Googling the two names, it could be I Knew I Loved You.
That's it. I Knew I Loved You Before I Met You.
Yeah.
I think I dreamed you into life.
Yeah. So she was in that.
That's her.
Yeah.
Knew it.
There you go. A bit of knowledge. I don't think, I probably didn't pay a lot of attention to film clips back then, but I did like Savage Garden. And then it's tight. The next two would probably be my favorite. First one would be Silverchair. They were like big during that time again through the 90s, that sort of thing. And 1927 might be my favorite. And that's because that takes me back to when I was a kid, when I was 8, 10, 12, and we had a record player in the house, and my parents would always have records playing, and 1927 was one of their favorites. So it's just burned into my brain. So I know every song off the album off by heart. So 1927 or Silverchair are probably my two favorites, I think.
And Frog Stomp, just obviously at the time was like, I don't think if you're, unless you were around for the 90s and you can just remember listening to Triple J and Unearthed and what that did for music and the Oz grungy music scene at the time, there was nothing else like it. Like these kids, like 14, 15 year old kids, whatever they were from Newcastle. Yeah. And then this song, like, literally was Australia's youth anthem. Mm. And, yeah, it was massive. I'm back with you around that phase. So favorite all-time band, it's tough. I'm whittling my list down.
I could have had Human Nature as well. I do like Human Nature. But, yeah, can only have a list that's so long, so.
I am just making sure these guys are Australian, to be fair, because I think there's a couple of members. You know when they, like, we have these random ones that we've got, like, two Australian guys and a couple of them are from New Zealand?
Yep.
And that's what I'm going to ding Crowded House just slightly, by the way. The Finns, I don't know. Have we just claimed them? I think we've just claimed them.
One that I didn't put that we could claim and we sort of can is the Bee Gees.
I just checked that one and I just canned them. I just canned it just on Birthright. I canned them on Birthright. I was going to say Bee Gees probably all time would be, I think, the biggest iconic one, I would say. I think for me then, number one with the bullet has to be NXS. I worked at a radio station on the Gold Coast. I don't know if anyone's in chat or listening. I should probably put comments on in case they are. Shout out to, if they're listening to this content and be like, oh, God, I'm from the Gold Coast. I know Hot Tomato. I used to work at a radio station on the Gold Coast called 102.9 Hot Tomato. And we used to do these events, and one of them was the Walk of Fame that's down at like Salt, just down over the Queensland border. Like there's this village resort, and they have this Australian Walk of Fame, and you get to like do this ceremony and give them their star kind of thing, like their plaque that goes on the Walk of Fame. And I got to host a couple of them. And one of them was I got to induct Pat Rafter, the Veronicas, and Kurt Pengilly from INXS. And if, for those who don't know, Kirk is actually with like Lane Beachley, Australian surfing goddess. Yep. And they just hung out afterwards. And I probably spent 2 hours with the bloke just chatting, having a couple of drinks. And he was the nicest guy in the entire world. So for that reason alone, number one with the bullet. Powderfinger, probably another one.
Forgot about them.
Powderfinger. I love Powderfinger. I love Spiderbait back in the day. Like they were just like just great Aussie rock bands. Like you just turn on Triple J and go nuts to them. But I have a couple of modern ones I want to shout out to. Gang of Youths, I think, is one of the best modern Australian bands. Seeing them live, it's like a just incredible. So shout out to Gang of Youths. But to some Australian dance music, Rogue Traders.
Yep.
Big fan. Natalie Bassingthwaite, but pre-Natalie, a guy called James Ash, and I can't remember his other name. There was two DJs before Natalie came in, where they did that INXS remix, huge. One of My Kind, they did that remix. Presets, love the Presets.
Yep.
Huge. And a Sydney DJ and producer and a fellow hooper and a mate, shout out to Hayden, who I played basketball with for a few years. Hayden James, a great modern Australian DJ and producer. Those are probably my favorite Aussies.
Yeah, I'm just having a look now that you've mentioned dance music, because I didn't even go down that rabbit hole, but I
went a little bit. I went a little rabbit hole-y.
Because clubbing in the 90s I was all about that. So I know a lot of Aussie. And if you were thinking of sort of mainstream ones, Madison Avenue, they had a lot of
good
songs. But another band that I thought of, and we'll move to the next thing then, because we could talk forever on this, is Killing Heidi. They were really good too.
Oh, they were. And Ella Hooper was like the first grungy girl I was ever like, marry me.
Yeah, she was a bit like that, wasn't she?
She was dreamy. She was lovely. She had that cute little, what's that? Like, because we're talking music, you know Simon and Garfunkel, You Can Call Me Al?
Yep.
There's this little roly-poly little bat-faced girl. There's a great line like that in the song. And she had that little bat-faced girl nose to her. And I was like,
yeah,
the dreadlocks and the hot. I'm like, maybe I should get more tattoos. And maybe I should just consider not like a very alternative lifestyle from what I'm currently living. Would that make you happy, Ella? And if it would, hi, my name is Matthew and here is my number.
Here is my home phone number.
You'll have to dial it by going around and do the area code beforehand.
So we'll do our player battles now. So I did this with DMAC last week. So rather than having a look at rest of season value, because we don't have much of the season left, I thought we'd still look at the last 3 weeks, but then let's look at two players and discuss their value for next season. So I feel like this might be a battle we've done this year for this year, but not for next year. Jamal Murray and DeJounte Murray. So
have we done this one?
So I'll let you lead us off.
We've done a lot of same name ones, like which Jalen do we want and things like this. I didn't know if we'd done these two yet, because I think this is based off our draft, your FBI, the Kingy Classic that I've dubbed it the Kingy Classic. That's just what I'm calling it. I'm going back into it now. And when I went through it, I wanted to just pull the data from that one. And I had a look around where I went. And in the third round, I think it was pick 30, what is it? That was 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. I've taken DeJounte Murray. 30 was Fred VanVleet. And then 31 was Jamal Murray. And this got me thinking, because I went with the whole thing when I was looking for playmaking. What is going to become of Atlanta next year? Because the Trae Young rumors have been out there now since the All-Star break that the organization seems happy to trade Trae, and they've never said that statement before. So is it a case that we get one of these two guys moved? Because obviously before the trade deadline, the name was DeJounte being moved. And then afterwards it's become, well, maybe Trae goes and we get a massive haul back in return for that. We're already hearing talk about the Lakers next year, the Spurs next year, where the Hawks can acquire the Lakers picks for 27 and 29. And the Spurs, they just have a shit ton of picks and they could give out their pick next year as well as salary cap. There's just a whole bunch of stuff going on over in San Antonio that they could get. And look, when you've got Trae Young, who's a really, really good rim protector, his name is Victor Wembanyama. So this is based off looking what's happening now and what could hypothetically happen next year. And I really like what DeJounte Murray could bring back next year. So to do this, it has to go back to where have they been at for the year and what do we know of them historically? Well, historically, this has actually been a very solid season for Jamal Murray. He's currently the 42nd ranked player, last year the 47th, and the year before that, through injuries and his 48 games, was the 59th best player. He has been fantastic. The peak of DeJounte Murray was the 21-22 season, where he was the third ranked player overall, according to Basketball Monster, before he went to the Atlanta Hawks. Last year was 53, and currently this year is 54. However, since Trae Young went down is where I wanted to lean with, because this is what we could see possibly with this team and the young team next year. So DeJounte Murray in the last 2 weeks, giving it birth in 6 games, has been the 10th best player, 28 points a game, 4 threes, 4 rebounds, 8 assists a game, 2 steals, 460 and 830 from the floor. In the last month, he's been the 35th best player. Jamal Murray, conversely, has also been in the last week the 21st best player. In the last 2 weeks, looking at that, he has been the 11th best player. So not much disparity between them. So this is a guy who's obviously, so last 2 weeks, he's been the 23rd best player in per game value, 21 points, 2 threes, 5 rebounds and 8 assists as well. His assists have really gone up. So for me, it's like, which Murray do I want to take? Well, in the case of Trae Young leaving Atlanta or DeJounte going and getting greener pastures, I'm probably looking at maybe DeJounte for the first time that I would over Jamal. And I think that's where it's interesting because there seems to be a youth movement and I think it's happening across the board. And Jamal's not old, but I think it's the first time I've really thought, actually, you know what? Maybe he's not going to be that top three, top five, top 10 player. But if he's top 20 value on the season, DeJounte has really crept up my board next year in what he's showing me already. And that's where I'm at.
Yeah, look, I think it's fair. I think, yeah, the ultimately this depends on what they do with Trae Young. If Trae Young stays and both he and DeJounte are there, I would go Jamal Murray. So if we ask this question 2 weeks out from the season, we know where they are.
Yep.
Now, in the draft we just did, I would also go DeJounte right now because I do think that Trae might be moved or I'm just not sure they'll be together. And I think Jamal Murray isn't going anywhere. He is who he is. He's very good. Yep. But I just don't think he has the ceiling that DeJounte has. DeJounte has been a first-round player. We know what he can do. He can give you a little bit more on the defensive end. So I just think his ceiling is a bit higher. I think Jamal's floor is probably slightly safer. But
it's a safer floor, 100%.
I'd be going for – because Jamal is going to be somewhere in the top 30 to top 40. That's generally where he's going to finish. Whereas DeJounte could be top 50 or top 20. So I'd probably just lean the upside of DeJounte Murray here in this one, but it is pretty close. And like I said, it would depend ultimately on what they do with Trae Young and what their team looks like next year.
And I wouldn't envision a pathway, Kingy, where next year, if this talk happens again like it did this year, we actually see the Atlanta Hawks put on their big person pants and make a move at the deadline if they both return to the team at the beginning of the season. So this is where DeJounte Murray would become a really, really nice buy low target during the course of the season when he's operating beside Trae Young. Because I don't think if they don't succeed the way that they have this year, I don't think we come out of February and the All-Star break and the trade deadline with them both on the same team this time next year. And this is where DeJounte will get you that back if you get that trade at the right price.
Yeah, I think so. Now my matchup, which again you haven't seen.
I haven't. This is a good one. I'm looking forward to it.
If I could type, it's not Kristaps Porzingis, it's Kristaps Porzingis.
Is that a tell that you're Porzingis? Are you Porzingis box?
Look, maybe it was, but I'm not because I'd go Zion.
Okay.
Again, for upside. This is probably a little bit recency biased because Zion has been incredible over the last few weeks. He's basically doing now what we've been waiting for him to do for 4 years. So he looks fit, he looks healthy, he looks motivated. The team are playing well. He's handling the ball, he's hitting his free throws, he's getting assists. This is everything that we thought he could be. The sample size is still quite small in the scheme of things. But a little bit like your matchup, I think we know exactly who Porzingis is at the moment. He's been really good. I'm not going to say that he hasn't been good because he's in 9 cat leagues. He's the 18th ranked player this season. I managed to draft him in a lot of leagues and he's been really good for me. So I'm certainly not against Porzingis, but I just feel like... And if we look at the draft, where are we?
He went 36. I've got it up here. So he went at the end of the third round. He went to S-Man Sports at 36. And that actually corrects me before. Jamal Murray went 2 picks before. I did the snake the wrong way. So Jamal Murray went at 31 and I took DeJounte at 33 for next year. So I thought that's where I started to get value because then I hit LeBron James on my next pick after that one. KP's gone off at 36. And 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46. 47 was Zion, which is, you'd say right now, just an absolute bargain.
Yeah, yeah. And as I said, there's a bit of recency bias there because he has been so good. But, yeah, I think I'd just go – I mean, I'm probably a sucker for guys like this and it probably come back to bite me. But if I was picking at, say, pick 30 next year and both were on the board, I think I'd probably go the upside of Zion. The free throws still worry me. I'm still not convinced that he's a great free throw shooter. But if he can get up to 75, 77%, then he won't drag you down like he has. And we've seen that from Luka this year. Luke, that's always been the negative when it comes to Luka Doncic and his fantasy value, but he's close to 80% this year and he's the fifth ranked player because of it. So, yeah.
And on the volume that these guys get, because Luka draws a lot of fouls. I mean, they're starting to adjudicate differently as well, which makes me think about drafting differently based on the volume of free throws. Like, we're down to the lowest free throws we have been in 70 years of basketball. Like, they've really made a move for the physical game to come back. So analytically, I look at, okay, well, if the volume's going to go away, there's not so much of a deficit to Luka because he's not going to get – he's trying to initiate that contract and get – and it's not going to get – but Zion just – he doesn't need to initiate contact. He just gets contact because of the way that he plays bully ball. Like, he's a lot more bully, like circa 2013 LeBron James, like going to the cup than a Luka is, where Luka is very cagey, whereas Zion is just physically a force. So if he can buoy that, man, I drafted him and traded him away when he wasn't playing well to begin this season in a trade that involved Jaren Jackson Jr. And my opponent is flying. In the past 2 weeks, Zion is the 12th best player. Like, he's exceeded even my expectations when I drafted him. Because what's always going to be, Kingy, do you still think the recency bias of now is great, but do you still think we get chubby or chunky Zion rumors in the offseason, or that he's not that fit or that he's motivated and he becomes a bargain because he slides? Is that still possible? Or do you think now is the season that next year we see him come back into being going in the first three rounds?
Yeah, I think it probably comes down to whether he ends the season healthy or injured, because that seems to sort of dictate what his off-season looks like. If he comes into and he's just injured, he's, I guess, motivation has been an issue, or it's been talked about as being an issue for him. And if he ends the season healthy and they're going to make the playoffs, but if they make the second round and they get beaten by, I don't know, Denver or someone in 4-2, it'll be like, okay, we're right there. And he will see that we're close, we're where we need to be, and he'll be motivated then coming into next season. So that would also determine, obviously, who I would go with here, because if you are hearing those rumors of he's out of shape or he's done his hamstring again or something like that, then I'd probably go with Porzingis, who, believe it or not, you would take him because he's not as much of an injury risk, which we wouldn't normally say about Kristaps Porzingis, but... Yeah. Probably Zion for me at the moment, but again, that could change.
And I've just done the calculations. Zion, this is how good he has been even from the free throw lately. Like you said, without free throws in the last 2 weeks, he is the 12th best player without considering free throw percentages of punt category. With punts, he's actually the 10th best player. So that just shows you how much that is tied to basically his, what would you say, his free throw percentage being decent. And that's two positions in a top 10 that this year has been fantastic. That's value. Like, if he's going you've got him in this draft towards the end of the fourth round, and the people around him, this is what's crazy if you think about the guys that went before and after him. Before him was DeMar DeRozan, and that's the safest houses pick. Devin Vassell with the pick before that, Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and Mikal Bridges. And I've got to say, I'd prefer Zion over Mikal any day of the week. The next guy off the board after him was Franz Wagner, Julius Randle, into Drew Holiday. So, mate, getting him towards the end of the fourth round, Noah Rubin got him, which was a snipe on you, taking into France. I would have feel that would have been a snipe, because I know that you actually went to a New Orleans Pelicans game this year and loved that experience. So, yeah, I think he's definitely making his way up my big board. He's definitely... I've done my top 40 for next year, and I have Zion in my top 40.
Yeah.
So I have him, I think at last thing I had him at 32. And right. I'm even thinking about moving him down from there. I'm probably going to, he's probably going to hit the 20s very, very soon.
Yep.
Just to see how he finishes it, just to see how he finishes the year. I'm hesitant until I see him finish healthy and be healthy in the offseason.
Yep. Yep. There is hesitation there, of course, but the upside is undeniable. And we've actually seen it for a somewhat sustained period over the last couple of weeks. So,
100%.
So we've probably got about 10 minutes till we need to get out of here. So I just thought we'd quickly run through our teams from my early mock draft.
Yeah.
So here we go with your team. So it was mine. Yeah. Hey. So we'll start with yours. So it was a 14 team league.
Yeah.
And I only went 10 rounds, so I didn't go too deep because it is just a mock. So talk us through your team here and any thoughts on specific players.
Oh, g'day. Life of Cuz just jumped in chat, and g'day to him as well. Life of Cuz always joins us. He's jumped in halftime from the footy. Go the Pies. Well done to him. Look, this is my team, and I'm happy with it. I tell you now, when you have a 14-team league that is just absolutely chock full of the analysts like that we had in this one, you kind of, I don't know, did you second guess yourself at all at any point in time? Because when you pick after seven, I'm always second-guessing myself, like, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to base it off? So straight away, to read through my thinking behind it, in my first pick, I took Domantas Sabonis because I wanted to make sure that I'm getting someone, no matter what, that's going to give me rebounds or assists. I wanted to have the choice on the turn to come back around to me who I could base it off. The man is a walking double-double machine. Any day of the week, I'm going to get like a 18, 10, and 8, or I'm going to get an 18, 20, and 12. So I know I've got a really good base there. So I think Sabonis has always been a really solid base. I did toy with Chet Holmgren here and Anthony Davis, and I let them go. But in a 12-team league next year, I mark my words that if I can get Anthony Davis and pair him with Chet Holmgren, that's just giving the big middle finger straight to the number one pick in Victor Wembanyama. I'm like, oh, you want to get the blocks? Well, let's play. I think that's a really nice dance to counter Wembanyama next year if he's going number one. Obviously, he's getting 6 or 7 a game, but that's me. The next one I wanted to pair that up with is I wanted to get solid stats again and feed those ones. So I went James Harden with my next pick around the board. And then I started to flirt with, okay, I've got a guard, I've got a forward and center eligible player in Sabonis, which I like that dual flexibility for him. I'm going to lean into those guard stats. And this is where with that next pick, I've gone, you know what? In this next year, hypothetical reality, DeJounte Murray is the point guard by himself in Atlanta. And to get him at 38 is nothing but value, which brought me to my next pick, LeBron James at 47. I couldn't believe it. I was like, surely LeBron's not going to be there at 38. And he was. And I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe that he was still there after that at 47. So I've got to take the man. Like, he's an unstoppable force of basketball. The man's been a top 25 player all year. And so when it's like I just drafted the next best guy on my board, and that's it. Jared Allen, I just love the bloke. I think he's had spates this year with top 10 value. Like, we all saw that earlier this year. He was a top 5 player at one point. It was ridiculous. So he's going to be my traditional center that weighs my team, like that anchors my team there. Emmanuel Quickley has proven to be a top 30 player in the last month of basketball. And he's fitted in very well at Toronto when I see them on a similar path next year. So I think that this exceeds his ADP. Austin Reeves, I wanted a guard and forward eligible player who could feed me in all. And also he's my handcraft to LeBron James. So at the end of the day, I was like looking at that. He's around his value. He's not better or not worse. And Tobias Harris, who I like to call Houses Harris. Look, the guy has been in and out of the lineup and lately in Philadelphia. I don't know what's going on there, if it's even a semi-tank job at this point, just to be like, look, we're going to have to go through the play-in. We don't know if Joel is going to be back. But look, I love Tobias Harris. He has exceeded everyone's expectations this year. So to see him at 103, delighted. Wendell Carter Jr. I see is having a bit of a resurgence next year, so I want another center to feed that. And Grayson Allen, I could not believe that he was still on the board, considering that in the last a little while, he's been the seventh best player in fantasy in the last 2 weeks. And he's been just incredible in Phoenix this year. And also Alex Reclean was picking two picks after me. And I wanted to make sure that Alex Reclean didn't take him.
Yep, that's fair. We don't want to let Alex get any of his guys. He did get Walker Kessler.
He did get Walker Kessler, which I think was the absolute masterstroke. And the reaction that first pick that you and him organized was an absolute, like yeah. the way that you did that. And Josh Lloyd saw that within like 2 seconds of Alex posting was just the most priceless thing I could think of.
It was just the reaction we were looking for. So I'll run, well, Life of Cuz with a question while he's spending his half time in the footy. And for anyone that is watching us instead of the footy, Collingwood are leading St Kilda by 8 points at half time. And in the rugby league, Penrith are demolishing Brisbane. So 22-2 at half time, which is great because I have Nathan Cleary in my super coach team. So.
I have Nathan Cleary in my super coach team. I benched him to play Nico out today on the holy shit beans. I've got Nico. Jesus, Mother Mary. I traded in off Matrixes from Insight. He's like, put Cleary on the bench and put Nico in versus the Tigers, your mate.
Absolutely. Yep. Good idea. And Nico is my captain this week against the Tigers.
Okay, Nico is my captain against the Tigers this week, thanks to our Matrix. So good move. And Cleary's on the bench, and he's already got 96. So you can just think we're starting like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I have him on my bench, but he is one of my reserves. So Cleary is still in my active lineup. Do you think Tobias keeps his value on a new team? So if he was to move next season, do you think he keeps his value?
I think I'm the highest in – am I the highest analyst in the world on Tobias Harris? At this point, I think I am. Yes. Yeah, I am. And you know what? That's going to be my lane. And one day I'm going to sit down with a beer with Tobias and be like, I was in your corner, mate. I was in your corner the whole bloody time. I do. I think Tobias Harris is a good basketball player. I think Tobias Harris is the kind of role player that a lot of teams in the NBA would like. And if you look back at his value, he's been the 63rd ranked player overall. And this has been dinted considerably with his outs lately. So he was a top 40 player. He has lost a lot of value the last month with being out of the lineup. That has dinged him. And also, look, I don't know what's going on there, but it's not positive. I think they're very much in their feels in Philadelphia, and that's impacted his game. Last year, he was 59. The year before that was 61. The year before that was 30. Like, just go back historically to see a guy like him still coming in the top 120s. It's like Chris Paul. Everyone's like, oh, Chris Paul's going to suck this year. The guy hasn't finished yet. Side the top 75 ever in fantasy basketball. So yeah, at a point, I think there's just a good, like you said before, Kingy, there's floor guys. Ours is Harris is a really stable floor. So I think he keeps some value and some relevance, but I see when he slides out, if you see Tobias Harris on your board at 100, you take him. You just take him because he's one of the best players on the board at that point.
Yeah, and he's the only 31 still. I think people think he's sort of 34, 35. He's not. He'll be 32 when next season starts. But hypothetically, he's still got another two good years of top 80, top 60 value. So, yeah, I don't mind him there. You are probably higher on him than me, but I think he's fine there. I think he's very safe. So
I like my sexy floor guys. I like my sexy marble tile guys. I like those sexy floor guys when you can get them late and be like, you know what? You're not going to fuck me up. You're going to actually help me, and I'll run with it there.
My team, Nikola Jokic. So I got pick 3. Wemby did go at 1. Shea went at 2 to Skitty, and then I had to take Jokic at 3. Yep. Doncic would be my only other consideration there, but Jokic is just so safe that I had to go with him. Went with Jalen Brunson at pick 26. I don't think he can really beat this value, but he is one of those floor guys. I think just we've seen this season he's been really good. He's taken his game to that next level. Then I went for some upside with Cade Cunningham at pick 31, a guy that hasn't reached this level yet. Whether he does that next year, I think he's dependent on how good Detroit are next year. If they're mildly competitive, then I think he can probably push top 40, top 30. Yep. Franz Wagner at 54, I think that I would have taken Zion there, but as you said, Noah took him ahead of me, so I went with Franz. And Franz, I'm pretty high on Franz. I think he can be top 35 at some point, like a third round. Orlando are just, they're trending in the right direction, and he's a key piece of what they're doing. And then a pretty similar player in some regards, Miles Bridges at 59, which is bang on where he is this season. He's about a top 60 player. A little bit of concern here, depending on where he is next season, because he's obviously been able to play well this year on a Charlotte team that doesn't have a lot of talent.
Yeah.
So if he was to go to a better team, he probably struggles to be a top 50, top 60 player, but I'm okay taking him here because we've seen multiple seasons where he's been able to beat this value. Onyeka Okongwu at 82, just constantly waiting for that moment when he steps into the starting role, and maybe they do trade away Trae Young, and with Jalen Johnson and DeJounte and Okongwu, they hit the reset button and just say, this is our core now, and move off of Clint Capella. So,
and we've seen them do that. We've seen Quinn Snyder do that before over in Utah. So that would be a very Quinn Snyder move.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm looking for here. Okongwu, his floor is probably top 100, as long as he's getting upwards of 20 minutes.
But he's been 60th this year. He's been 60th this year, Kingy.
Yeah.
Like, I actually love that pick for you. I actually had him in my radar on this comeback around. He was in my queue, and I was like, damn it, Kingy took him.
Yeah. No, I think he was good. And just before he got that injury, he was starting. He was playing big minutes. And so I'm hoping next year is the year. Terry Rozier at 87, I'm really not excited about that pick at all. I don't actually know why I made it. I think that area of the draft, once you get sort of beyond pick 75, it just gets a bit barren. You're looking for guys that can be top 50 players, and there's just not many of them there. Terry Rozier, I think, has looked a bit better in Miami the last little bit. So I feel like he'll be at least a top 100, top 90 player, even playing in Miami. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who this season wasn't even being drafted in a lot of leagues, and he's been, I want to say...
What a player this year. What a fantastic player this year.
64 man of the year. 9 cat, yeah.
He was sixth man of the year candidate before the Trae Young thing. He was like right up there. He would have been my sixth man of the year initially until Trae Young went out and he got some more starting minutes. And I think that moves it to Malik Monk, you know, being one of those kind of guys now. But yeah, Bogdan's been brilliant.
Yeah, really good. Coming off that World Cup performance. So I like Bogdan there. I think that's a really nice pick. Cam Johnson. Again, I'm not excited about that one, but I like to think that maybe this has just been an off season with some injuries and ups and downs and playing on a Brooklyn team that's just trash. So maybe there's scope. He's still quite young. So I'd like to think that he could be a top 100 player next season. And then I auto-drafted I didn't even realize I was on the clock. I think there were some fan tracks things going on. And so I drafted Andrew Wiggins, but I don't want Andrew Wiggins. So I dropped him and picked up Malik Monk. So this is who I would have taken. Malik Monk, another guy like Bogdan, a really good sixth man. He's been key for Sacramento over the last few weeks. He's playing, despite playing as the sixth man, he's basically playing starters minutes. Every night, just pulling up his game log here. Not in the last game because they beat Toronto by about 1,000 points. But prior to that, he's basically playing 30 minutes a night. He can get you 20 points, 5 assists, the odd steal. He'll hit threes. He's awesome from the free throw line. So I think getting Monk here at 138 is great because I think he's going to be a really nice piece for Sacramento long term. So I was okay with my team. A couple of picks that I wasn't too excited about, but generally I was okay with it.
And this is where I round out after that with Markelle Fultz, who I actually thought you were going to take because I know that you love Markelle Fultz. And then Kingy took and then you took him. Skitty took Markelle next, and then Josh Hart rounded out the picks there at 140. Obviously, 14 players, 10 teams deep. What I actually don't know if you've chopped up yet is guys who are still left on the wire. And I did prepare an actual question. It was this one. Of all the players that were left, who are you most surprised was left on the wire at the end after 140 deep?
Given it's an analyst league, there weren't too many.
Yep.
Because I think analysts are going to already be doing their research for next year. And so they'll be looking at guys' production this year or over the last month or whatever it is, and put it into context and go, yeah, I actually don't think this is sustainable. Who's on there? I'm looking through it now.
Top names include guys like Norm Powell, another six man of the year candidate at that back end. Yeah. Keldon Johnson, Buddy Hield was one of the ones that for me was the outlier. I saw Buddy Hield completely drift off and I was like, oh, okay. Like I was considering maybe I could round back and pick him up. But then again, you start to hit in an analyst league. Like this is the thing with Ayo Dosunmu. I saw him there and I'm like, Jesus, it sucks to God that Zach LaVine's going to be healthy next year and back, because I would just love it in a world where Ayo Dosunmu is getting drafted. He's been a revelation.
Oh, look, if I think, if we knew he was going to start, he'll be drafted, but we know that Zach LaVine will come back. We know that Lonzo Ball is running again. So,
which is amazing. He's training with the team. How great is that?
Yeah, so if he could be back as well. So I just don't see the role for Dosunmu, as good as he's been. It's not there at the moment. So there's not a lot of names on that list left. If I sort of scroll down the list and go, I wouldn't be surprised if these guys are waiver wire guys. In saying that,
there was only one 140 deep.
So
this is true. The one that I was like more interested in for the full season that I was most shocked by, because I've just got to give a shout out. I'm just checking his season rank currently. And I was like, this guy, surely we should have taken him. Mike Conley. I just shout out to Mike Conley. I know he's like at the 150s this year, but Jesus, I would love to take Mike Conley with the last pick. I like Mike Conley. Shout out to Mike Conley for just being like the man in the room to help get the Minnesota Timberwolves on the winning ways this year. I think he's been integral to their team, to be fair.
I think you could argue he's the most important player. Not from a production standpoint, because they've got Anthony Edwards, they've got Karl Anthony Towns, but in terms of when he's not there, you just noted the team loses their direction, they lose their heads. So he needs to be healthy for them in the playoffs for them to do anything, I think. And I drafted him. I think I took him in probably 2/3 of my leagues with my last pick this year, not needing him to do anything other than get assists and steals and a few threes and some points. And he's averaging 6 assists, 1 steal, 2.2 threes, 91% from the free throw line, doing exactly what I needed him to do. He's played 64 games, so he's been relatively healthy. So, yeah, he was probably the guy I looked at here when I jumped back in and picked up Malik Monk. It was him and Mike Conley. They were the two that I was looking at. So,
Another shout out to B-Dub from FBI Basketball before we answer your question, Gibbo. Hello. He jumped in chat before. Not in chat. He commented on our post online, and it was Living End, Grinspoon, and Powderfinger. So he backed up the pink. But, yeah, Grinspoon and Living End, two other
great Living End, when I read that, I thought, oh, yeah, Living End were good too. So.
Yeah, good shout there, mate.
So Gibbo asks, if Jalen Smith leaves in free agency, is Isaiah Jackson rosterable in an 18 to 20 minute per game role? Yeah, well, yes. I mean, if Isaiah Jackson's playing 20 minutes a night, yes.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure it happens. I guess if Jalen Smith leaves, but that would mean Miles Turner would only be getting 28 minutes a night. Which I know the Pacers aren't afraid to bench him for whatever reason. So, yes, I think so. I think if we come into next season and it's clear that Isaiah Jackson is the backup, then he'd be someone to consider with a last pick just to see how many minutes he gets.
And currently right now, Jalen Smith is on 18 minutes a night and he's the 147th ranked player. So to give you context, it depends on your Gibbo, on your league and on your depth. If he's the backup and he's getting majority, but again, we've seen them not give Isaiah minutes when Jalen's been out. So there just always seems this hesitancy not to roll him out more than a certain amount of time. They'll give more minutes to Obi Toppin in that case, and then Obi Toppin goes up in value. I just never know what the value is, but if he can carve out a decent 18 to 20 minute a night role, he definitely becomes rosterable with the last pick.
Yeah, he does. So I'm just pulling up his box score. So, I mean, he's He's in and out of the lead, in and out of the lineup. That's the, as you said, the issue here is we've just never really seen the team confident enough to give him consistent minutes. He's more of a sort of a spot minutes guy who will play in a favourable matchup. But I mean, in his last game, against Detroit today or yesterday, he had a double-double with 6 assists and 3 steals. Yeah. We've seen he's had a few double-doubles. He's had a lot of multiple block games. So, yeah, look, I mean, per 36, we know how good he is. And if you look at his per 36 stats for the season, he's a first-round player. So he only needs to get, as we know, probably 20 minutes a night. But at the moment, he's only getting 13 minutes a night, and he's a top 200 player in 13 minutes a night. So there you go. I mean, you bump that up by, 50%, then he moves probably inside the top 130, 120 pretty comfortably. So,
and if he's still there in the last peak, that's where you get the value. Oh, you're like, he's here at 140? Oh, laughing. And then especially if that's what's going to happen, and you see that happen in the preseason, he'll be one of those names that's flirted with as value for next year.
Yep, I think so. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to go and have some hot cross buns.
Oh, because are you a butter and jam person? Butter just, and the jam?
No, jam on a hot cross bun. No, I'm not.
Wait, no, wait. What, you've never done jam on a hot cross bun?
No, I haven't. No.
What are you, really?
Just butter. No,
mate.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Mate, you're crazy not to use the conserve. You need to break out the IXL. Yeah, no, strawberry jam. I grew up with a. I grew up with a grandmother that would have fresh homemade jam, blackberry jam, just low key blackberry jam, or like one of those like mulberry kind of jams. You know, those berries. One of those on a hot cross bun with hot melted butter, deluxe. The dream.
All right, I'm gonna go and pull the jam out of the fridge then, and have a couple of hot cross buns with jam.
I'm about to record a pod, and I expect to have a direct message from you on Twitter or on text telling me how good you like it. Because jam on a hot cross bun is elite.
Okay, there you go. I've learned something new today. I'm going to go and try that. Get the cats to bed, get the kids to bed. Insight, what's coming up over the next few weeks, couple of months?
It's huge. Look, the AFL and NRL seasons, like we were talking earlier, have kicked off. Shout out to Braino, Whisperer, and of course my man Matrix, who helped me with my Supercoach NRL lineup. Huge lineup over in the AFL as well with Skitty, who you know, and Big Horse. Big Horse leads that up with Skitty and Herbie each week. So we've got your sports covered there. In NBA, we've still got 4 shows a week going on. We've got the crossover on Sunday, Monday for your weekly preview. I'm about to jump on and do the Chase Down, where we talk about the weekends. Saturday morning live this week, 8 a.m., Kingy, come along. It's an all open. I haven't invited anyone. People just get asked, do you want us to come on or not? I'm like, sure, why not? It's just an open free chat on a Saturday morning where we like to talk basketball and how to win your leagues and stuff that's going on, things that we've noticed. So I do that with Skitty. You can check him out at SkittyIFS on Twitter as well. Mate, we've got heaps of content coming up. And the big thing is our Discord, our unlimited channel, where we give personal feedback and on people's tips and on their team. So jump in on that one and check out the Discord as well. It's going great.
And the new Insight merch, the hat, the shirt. A little plug for the stuff there. So
I've got if you want one, just DM me and I'll just give people stuff. Like we'll just make it and print it. We're going to put it up on the website. We've got a website coming soon in development. We're going to have a little bit of a web store with some good gear coming up. But just it's fun. We love our fantasy sport. And look, in Australia, like you know, Kingy, it's NRL and AFL season just kicks off. Like Life of Cuz is just tapping into fantasy basketball, but he's rolling himself into AFL right now, which is what us Australian blokes do this time of year. So, you know, the fantasy basketball is on the trend, and then we'll do our end of season review, which will come with an end of season kit. So I'm doing all 30 teams, 10 players from each team that I've liked, full season stats for each team. And I'm going to do a published book. I'm just going to publish a book out there basically for everyone for free. And it's called the end of season report. So that'll go out to everyone in the next 6 weeks basically. And that'll be basically my pre-draft guide for next year to be like, where is this, where the questions for next year off this, and that'll launch us into next year.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. Lots of good content. We've got we don't do all the other sports, obviously, but we've got plenty of dynasty stuff coming up over the next few weeks, and then obviously over the off season with Noah and Matt. Our playoff leagues, I believe, will be launching very soon, as soon as Fantrax allow us to go in and set them up. That we still can't set them up, but we usually run. Well, maybe 50 of those. So we'll be running a lot of playoff leagues, best ball leagues, all sorts of things. That'll then, as soon as the season's done, we'll be launching our draft only leagues for next year. Never too early to do a draft. If anyone knows me, I'm happy to draft any time of the year. So we'll have plenty of those going as well. And then moving into next season and getting some player notes ready and maybe a draft guide. I don't know. I'm flirting with the idea of it, depending on time. Plenty of stuff coming out despite the season coming to an end. Keep an eye out for it. Follow Maddie at NBAGWiz. Follow me at AdamKing91. We are at FBI Basketball as well. B-Dub, who we know is watching along, is at Hidden Upside. G'day, so you can follow him and we'll be... We'll have all the information about our leagues and stuff like that.
And shout out to you, King, as well. I love your weekly show that you do with Mike Fiddle, I believe it is. I do one with Matrix every week as a weekly preview. I think just two of the best co-piloted weekly shows there are, to be honest. I just think it's good chat every single week. So, yeah, make sure you check out everything. I'm not even part of the FBI team. So make sure if you're not checking out Inside Stuff, you check out everything Fantasy Basketball International because it's good.
Yeah, and look, I mean, honestly, follow everyone that does stuff. RotoWorld are doing stuff. RotoWire, Josh does all of his stuff as well. So there's plenty of content out there, which some of it will start to slow down. But
go into those 14 people that we were talking about from King's Classic Draft before. Like, they're all good people. There's Kayla and D-Mac who jumps on this show as well. Just people who love basketball, and the analyst world is full of them. So if you love your basketball, shout out to those who love it too.
That will do it then for today. Thumbs up, subscribe, all of that stuff. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitter, obviously. A lot of people watching on Twitter, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you consume your podcast content. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. Go and watch the footy now. That's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to go and have some hot cross buns with Jam. Until next time, catch ya.
Take care.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.